I gave you this little piece of paper, and I would like to explain to you what it is and why I'm giving it to you. I came across this and I decided to share it with you. The immediate background of this is they just recently published two more volumes of letters from the previous Rebbe, from the Friedrich Rebbe. And of course, when you get something new, you leaf it through and you find new gems. And this is one of those gems. I would like to give you some historical background so you could appreciate the context of this little piece of paper. And then I'm going to read it to you, okay? And I hope you can, so to speak, go on this journey with me, because this is really special. Let me give you the background, okay? Let's just start with the following premise. Life is serious. What a revelation, huh? Some would disagree. A Jew's life is certainly serious. A chassid's life is certainly serious. The life of a Rebbe is immeasurably more serious. A Rebbe's life is more serious as an individual. A Rebbe is not just a Rebbe because he was voted in, because he won the popular election, but because he's worthy by his stature to be such, to be a Rebbe. So a Rebbe is a person who, as an individual, notwithstanding his Rebbeship, is a man who takes life excessively seriously. Having said that, serious should not be equated with heavy, with burdensome, with depression, God forbid. Seriousness means intensity, focus, concentration, energy. But all of that can be very vitalized, full of energy, and energy in Hasidus is equated with joy. Okay? That's the background. This is, so to speak, the most basic foundation for this little discussion we're going to have, is this assumption that the more focused on the Eibishter a person is, the more serious they are, but seriousness should not be equated with heaviness and depression. Now, a little historical background. The fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, whose name was Reb Shmuel, he's known to Hasidim as Reb Marash, passed away at 47. There is reasons, there is an event that's attached to his passing, which is a discussion also for another time. The bottom line is he passed away at 47. And it appears from various different indications that he actually died before his time. He indicated as much, for whatever reason. When he passed away, his children were relatively speaking young. His oldest daughter, his oldest child was a girl, was probably in the neighborhood of 27 or 28 years old. He had a little meidele, Chaim Mushka, who was probably before Bas Mitzvah. Okay, she was really little. He had six children. He had four boys and two girls. One of his children died as a little boy, so he had three boys and two girls. They were young. When he passed away, he left over his son, who would be his successor, the Rebbe Rashab, Rav Shalom Dovbed, the previous Rebbe's father. He was 21 years old. He turned 22, 5 weeks later, but nevertheless, he was 21 years old. He was very young. The Rebbe Rashab, at 21, was more mature, was more developed, was more sophisticated, was more knowledgeable than people are going to be in their 70s and 80s. He was the Rebbe Rashab. He had, as they say, good natural resources. He had a great mind. He studied a lot. He was a master of Torah. But nevertheless, he was young. And in as much as you can sort of distinguish between one Rebbe and another, if there was a Rebbe that you could say that we know, but we don't know, that we know about his deep inner spiritual struggles, it's about the Rebbe Rashab. No Rebbe's personal struggles are known to us like that of the Rebbe Rashab. The Friedrich Rebbe's struggles we know, but not his personal struggles. His struggles as a leader, his struggles as an activist. The Rebbe's struggles, nobody will ever know. Totally secret. The previous Rebbe's struggles we don't know because they haven't been recorded. The struggles of the Rebbe Rashab we know quite a bit about because the Friedrich Rebbe would constantly talk about his father, constantly. And all the writings and speeches of the previous Rebbe are published, simply because he lived at a more recent time. And we therefore know a lot of the turmoil, the inner struggles of the Rebbe Rashab. And as a very young man, while his father was still alive, we meet an individual, a person, who is extremely, extremely God-fearing, very deep as an intellectual, very spiritual, and in infinite pursuit of the, quote, truth. He lives for the truth. That's what he lives for. He wants the truth. Now, exactly what is the truth? how do you define it and how do you grasp it, is perhaps an impossible question to answer. But religion, and Yiddishkeit and Hasidus certainly, establishes, as a matter of fact, that there is truth, and the Rebbe is seeking that truth. And seeking that truth is not just a matter about discovering information. That's not difficult. Seeking that truth is making oneself truthful, becoming Yiddishkeit. And the Rebbe Rashab's life, if you read about it, and you read about his inner struggles and his thoughts and his frustrations and his inner pains, that's what you're reading about. A person who has absolutely no mercy on himself when it comes for the desire of being connected to Hashem in a way that's more honest. He was a Rebbe, and as a Rebbe he was a leader of the community, a leader of Hasidim. He was a teacher to the Hasidim who are on a higher level of Mizrach. And to them there was a lot of positiveness, a lot of encouragement. But inside the Rebbe Rashab there was a volcano. There was unbelievable intensity of concentration and focus. And I'll use the word again, frustration of the pursuit of the truth at all cost, without any regard, any mercy on himself. The Rebbe Rashab once told his wife, the Friedrich Rebbe relates, that I didn't know my father's inner struggles. The Friedrich Rebbe told the Rebbe, I didn't know my father's inner struggles, but he confided in my mother. The previous Rebbe was an only child, and he was the Rebbe Rashab's successor. He says, my father never told me what was going on inside, but he used to tell my mother. The Rebbe in Shtenisada, who by the way is here in New York, Afanayo, she's in the cemetery, and of course from the previous Rebbe's Tzion, she passed away in 1942. She was the wife of the Rebbe Rashab, about whom we're speaking, and he told her where he's at in his spiritual struggles. And I would imagine it was probably difficult to listen to, but that's where you had to be. The Rebbe in Shtenisada to hear it. He said to her, at about the age of 40, he was a Rebbe who had established a yeshiva. He had rejuvenated Chabad Hasidus, which was virtually dead some years before. And he was the most successful person. And he says to his wife, he's a 40-year-old Rebbe. He says to his wife, I've been working my whole life, and I have not corrected one emotion, one midah, to my satisfaction. So understand that this was a person who knew what truth was. And he had absolutely no mercy on himself in the pursuit of the truth. Now, if you want to go into the realm of the should-haves, what could have been, what should have been, you would assume that the Rebbe Marash would live a normal lifespan, and he would have more time to spend with his son, who would later be his successor, and there would be, pardon me for using these words, a more normal evolution of Hasidus. The Rebbe Rashab became a Rebbe at 21. No Rebbe became a Rebbe that young. Even the Rebbe Marash was 32 when he became a Rebbe. Other Rebbeim were in their 40s when they became a Rebbe. The Rebbe was almost 50 when he became a Rebbe. To become a Rebbe at 21 is premature. So if whatever events led to the early passing of the Rebbe Rash hadn't taken place, of course everything is bashkocha protis, then perhaps the Rebbe Rashab would have had more time to, so to speak, sit at his father's feet, get the guidance, the counsel, the enlightenment, and I'll use this word very carefully, the joy of Hasidus. But it didn't happen that way. It's not what the Eibishter planned it. The Rebbe Rash passed away young, and the Rebbe Rashab at 21 was suddenly on his own. Now, he wasn't entirely on his own. He still was able to, the Rebbe Rashab was a tzaddik. We know that he would go to the oil and he would actually talk to his father. But the same it was not. The same relationship he had with his father before he didn't have. And we read about the pain that he experienced. The Friedrich Rebbe said that his father told him that his hair fell out of his head, Pashut. He lost his hair over the death of his father. It was a very deep experience for him. And the experience of the Rebbe Rashab was emotionally painful for various reasons. Obviously, his father was his whole life. His father was his Rebbe, his father was his father, his father taught him how to serve Hashem, and so on and so forth. And the loss of his father was terribly painful for him. But more importantly, I shouldn't say more importantly, also importantly is that Rebbe Rashab understood that the passing of his father meant that now the ball's in his hands. He's the Rebbe. 21 years old, he likes it or not, he's the next in line. And that was very, on his part, he took that very seriously. That wasn't something that Rebbe Rashab took lightly. What that Rebbe Rashab did after his father passed away was the following. For the first year after his father passed away, he basically locked himself in his father's office. The room where his father studied, he literally ate there and slept there. He was there basically 24 hours a day. When it came time to daven, he'd open up the door, A minyan would come in. As soon as davening would end, one of the older Hasidim would send everybody off, and the Rebbe was by himself. During that year, he would say Hasidus, there are Maimorim from that period of time, but for the most part, there was no Yechidus. He didn't have private audiences. Lubavitch fell apart. It really did. A lot of Lubavitch and Hasidim went elsewhere because the Rebbe Rashab didn't accept the leadership for 10 or 11 years. After that initial year of Yahrzeit, of the passing of his father, he spent 10 years on his inner struggles. During those 10 years, there were a number of stages. First of all, he was sick a lot. I mean, a few times he was mamish near death, and with great miracles and blessings from the Eibishter, he recovered. He was very to himself. He would say Hasidus on and off. He had Yechidus on and off. There were times that he would allow people to see him, and times he didn't want anybody to see him. There were times they would give counsel, and times they didn't give counsel. And it wasn't until 1894, when he was at that particular time 33 years old, 11 years almost after his father passed away, that he officially became Rebbe. And once he became officially Rebbe, it was different. He was available, he was a Rebbe. But like I said, there was an extended period of time, if I may use these words, and perhaps I may not, where he was raising himself. His father had already passed away. Lubavitch was in need in the Rebbe. And if you can use these words, you get the impression that the Rebbe Rashab was not ready to take the position officially. He said Hasidus. He did different things as a community leader. But for the most part, he was for himself. And he went through these deep, deep, deep inner struggles. I wouldn't go as far as to say that the Rebbe Rashab was depressed. But depression equals inaction. But the Rebbe Rashab certainly had a lot of deep inner struggles. Like I said, you could say that inside of him there was a volcano that was the pursuit of emes at all costs. And not, like I said, the philosophical pursuit of emes, the viable pursuit of emes, that he should reflect in his life and in his person and in his Yiddishkeit the truth. Compound that by the awareness that this man knew that he's the Rebbe and that he has his responsibility to Hasidim, and he can only push off officially taking the position for so long, and you can appreciate how intense the pressure and the burden that the Rebbe Rashab as a young man, you're talking about a man in his 20s and in his early 30s, experienced. That's some of the backgrounds. Now one more little story before I get to this letter, which will also require an introduction. After his father passed away, the Rebbe Marash, and perhaps after the year, the Rebbe Rashab, who was then about 22, 23 years old, traveled to Hadich, or to Gadich, for the Russians in the room. Hadich is the city where the Alter Rebbe is buried. Shomer Nuchasik, the Alter Rebbe, the founder of the Chabad movement. And the Rebbe Rashab made a trip to Hadich. He came to Hadich, and he went into the Alter Rebbe's oihel, and he cried hysterically for a very long time. He cried and he cried and he cried. Mamish, he cried hysterically. He walked out of the Alter Rebbe's oihel, and there was an old chassid there whose name was Reb Tuvia. And let me give you a little background, more background. When the Tzemach Tzedek had passed away, the third Lubavitch Rebbe, Chabad Chassidus diversified. Until the Tzemach Tzedek's passing, there was one Chabad movement, basically, Lubavitch. When the Tzemach Tzedek passed away, Tzemach Tzedek had a bunch of children. They each became a Chabad Rebbe. The youngest of the Tzemach Tzedek's children remained in Lubavitch, as Reb Marash. But there were a number of others. One was in a city called Kapust, another was in a city called Nezhin, another was in a city called Liadi, with Alter Rebbe was from originally, and another was in a city called Avruch. So Chabad diversified. And to be honest, most of the Hasidim did not remain in Lubavitch. Lubavitch was actually, at that time, a very small Hasidus. And there was, understandably, friction. You know, every Chassid felt his Rebbe was better. So you had these divergent Chabad movements, each being headed by another one of the children or grandchildren of the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek. And this Reb Tuvia, who was on the oil of the Alter Rebbe, was an old Chassid, who was by the Tzemach Tzedek yet, but he belonged to the competition. He was a Kapuster Chassid. When the Rebbe Rashab came to the oil, and he knew right away, this is the son of the Lubavitcher Rebbe who had just passed away. This is the competition. You understand? So when the Rebbe walked out of the oil after crying for so long, he says to the Rebbe Rashab, "Why are you crying like this? Why are you so emotional?" So he answers. He said, "You search and you search and you search. And you finally come to the source. And you still don't have clarity. You search, you search, you search. And you come to the source. And you still don't have clarity. How could you help but not cry? Just understand, you're dealing with a person. He was 23 years old, but he was a special, special person, a special, special soul. And nevertheless, there was such a frustration. He came to the Alter Rebbe and he cried. So this Reb Tovia, this old chassid, says to the Rebbe Rashab, a younger man daf hab na Rebbe. He says, you're a young man, you need a Rebbe. And what he was trying to tell him was, go become a chassid of my Rebbe. So the Rebbe says to him, if I knew where there was a Rebbe, I would travel even overseas. In other words, you're right, I need a Rebbe, but I don't know where to find one. It just gives you an idea, it just gives you more of an idea of what I mean when we say that the Rebbe Rashab had an inner struggle. Now, with all this background information that I've just given you, let me, so to speak, get a little closer to this letter. The Rebbe Rashab lost his father. He was 21 years old. There were many elder Hasidim, older Hasidim from the Tzemach Tzedek, from the Rebbe Marash, who were loyal to Lubavitch. White bearders, Jews in their 60s, in their 70s, in their 80s, who would come to Lubavitch. And here was this young Rebbe. Their Rebbe was now a 21-year-old man, a 22-year-old man, a 23-year-old man. And there was a very interesting relationship. There was a clear understanding. He's the Rebbe, and we're the Chassidim. We're 70 years old, or 80 years old, and he's 25. He's the Rebbe, he's the son of the Rebbe, he has those special genes, a special neshama. He's the Rebbe, we're not the Rebbe. But at that time, the Rebbe wasn't officially the Rebbe. And the exchanges, the discussions, the conversations took place between the Rebbe and the Chassidim were very equal. In other words, the Rebbe needed them to lift him. The Rebbe Rashab was, as much as he was the Rebbe and they were the Chassidim, that when he would say Chassidus, they would stand in front of him like a Jew stood at Mount Sinai, with all the respect in the world, even though he was so young and they were so much older. Nevertheless, the Rebbe Rashab did not act aloof at all. On the contrary, the Rebbe Rashab needed their support. One of those elder Chassidim, who was yet a Chassid in the Tzemach Tzedek, was a very well-known Chassid by the name of Rav Shmuel Ber Bar Yosefer. Rav Shmuel Ber Bar Yosefer was a Chassid of Tzemach Tzedek and the Rebbe Marash. So the Rebbe Rashab is, let's say, when this letter, the story of this paragraph, was about 26, and figured Rav Shmuel Ber Bar Yosefer was in his 70s. Rav Shmuel Ber Bar Yosefer was a big Chassid, a very big Chassid, a genius, a master of Chassidus, a mashpia. He had given direction, counsel, leadership to thousands of Chassidim over a half century. And he comes to Lubavitch to meet the young Rebbe. They knew each other from before. This Reb Shmuel Ber would come to Lubavitch when the previous Rebbe Rashab's father was still alive, when the Rebbe Marash was still alive. And the Rebbe Rashab was then a teenager, and Reb Shmuel Ber was then in his 60s, and they would have a lot of discussions. And the Friedrich Rebbe writes in this letter to which I'm referring, how he found notes that his father had written describing the conversations he had with this Chassid Shmuel Ber during the lifetime of his father, the Rebbe Marash. So the Rebbe Rashab and the Shmuel Ber Bar Yosefer, notwithstanding there was probably a 50-year discrepancy in age, if you will, were friends. But they were not casual friends. They were very deep friends. They were deep people. People who both were in pursuit of the truth, each on their own level. And their discussions were about, and I'm using this word advisedly, the loneliness of the pursuit of the truth. The more one pursues anything real, the less company they have. It's just the nature of life. And they understood one another. They understood one another in a way that perhaps most people couldn't relate. Not perhaps, for sure, most people couldn't relate. And he had this old chassid and this young Rebbe, and they're discussing things. They're engaged in ongoing conversation. And the Friedrich Rebbe was a seven-year-old observer. Friedrich Rebbe was 7 years old. And the Friedrich Rebbe says, I remember him coming to Lubavitch, and I remember what was going on. And I remember that I didn't understand anything. But I felt, he says, first of all, the extreme love that these two people had for one another. The Rebbe Rashab and Shmuel Ber, the Mamish, loved each other in a very deep way, in a very personal, very real, real way. And I appreciated the depth of their conversations by the tone, by the mood, notwithstanding that I didn't understand the content of the discussions at all. When Rebbe Shmuel Ber left Lubavitch to go back to where he lived, the Rebbe Rashab accompanied him to the train. And he took me along, says the Friedrich Rebbe. The Friedrich Rebbe is a seven-year-old boy. And we traveled to the train station, and we came to the train station. And the Friedrich Rebbe writes, the Friedrich Rebbe lived in Lubavitch. Lubavitch was a tiny village. And you're talking how many years ago? You're talking 100 and, what is it? Almost 120 years ago. It's a long, long time ago. And he came to a train station. a train station, by Lubavitch standards, was a big, noisy, dynamic place. Hundreds of people and buildings and trains and tracks. And for the previous Rebbe, who lived in such a quiet little village like Lubavitch, this was so overwhelming. It was very distracting. There was so much happening that distracted him. And the Rebbe says, I came into the train station and I was totally distracted by all of the hustle and bustle and tumult and dynamism of the train station. And still, he says, notwithstanding how much was going on in the train station and how much I, as a 7-year-old little boy, was moved by all of this, nevertheless, the special bond between these two men touched me. Even in the train, with all the noise, I was still very aware that something very deep was going on between these two people, who were separated from one another by 50 years of age, probably, or 45 years of age. There was a very great discrepancy in age. With all this background in mind, and I hope you followed me from the beginning, we read this one paragraph. Okay, now what you have here is an old chassid, who was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek, and a chassid of the Rebbe Marash, talking to a young Rebbe, who's, say, 45, 50 years his junior, but a Rebbe who's for real. You know, you can't phony being a Rebbe. You know, you're phony being a Rebbe, you're not a Rebbe, you're a criminal. Who wanted the truth at all the cost in the world. There was no price he wouldn't pay for the truth. And as a result, there was a lot of inner frustration, pain, agony. And it's not a pain from a loss. It's a pain from a want. He wanted something that he didn't yet have, and he was aspiring. He wanted it. And these two people had spent a number of weeks together, and now they're parting. They're saying goodbye. So now I want to read this to you, okay? Hamasaba, the train came. V'achosid Rabbi Shmuel Ber Zechenu Levracha, this old chosid, Reishin Beis, Tansur Rabbi Shmuel Ber, Nichnas Ma'akav, he got onto the train. V'terem Yipardei, and before he departed, Higidli, the previous Rebbe said, he said to me, and understand the Friedrich Rebbe is a 7-year-old boy, he says to him, Hishtadel Lilmid Harbi, make an effort to learn a lot. V'chazek V'hayeli Ish, strengthen yourself and become a man. Oysen Nachas Ruach Leirecha, who will give satisfaction and pleasure to his parents. This is what he said to the Friedrich Rebbe. And then this old chassid and this young Rebbe, who have just spent a couple of weeks grinding out these spiritual issues with one another, he turns to the Rebbe Rashab, to the previous Rebbe's father, and he's saying goodbye. And the chassid of Shmuel Ber said, Lahoid, Kvei Kedushas Ha'amur, Harav HaKadosh, he says to the Rebbe Rashab, the previous Rebbe's father, as follows. Okay, and just listen. These are two real people who were saying goodbye to one another. Right? And one of these real people is in the middle of an inner war you can't imagine. And his friend, says to him as they're departing, these words, Zayt Freilach, be happy. Chai Gelept. Chai means life, lived life. Wie ich hab gehört von Zayden, as I heard from your grandfather, the Shmuel Ber says to the Rebbe Shab, I heard from your Zayde, and in the parenthesis it says whichever this means. Kavanasi al heid kvei kedushas az mor avakadosh tzemach tzedek zetzuk lahan avgam ziyad the Rebbe tzemach tzedek. The following. Vayechi Yankev Eretz Mitzrayim, and Yaakov Avinu lived in the land of Mitzrayim. And the Tzemach Tzedek translated, in Mitzrayim, you're in exile, you're in Egypt, ungelept, and you're alive. Underfar, and it is for this reason that a person can be in Mitzrayim and live, is Yaakov Avinu lo yimes, Yaakov Avinu never dies. Elohu chai le'elam, he lives forever. Why? Because in Eilam, he can be in the world, ungelept, and he lives. Or to say, to translate just a little bit, if a person can succeed to live, and of course this means to live as a Jew, as a spiritual being, in this world, that never dies, because that means the world cannot end, cannot interrupt that life. Okay, now, that's the whole point. I took 25 minutes to read this to you. Okay. But just meditate, just think for a moment about this. If you can transport yourself, if you can envision for a moment what it means to want the truth, how frustrating, how agonizing it is. Not sad, not depressed, not heavy, powerful, intense. Nobody wants the truth like the Rebbe Rashab. And here is another person, a rare person, a special person, who relates to the Rebbe Rashab's struggles. Perhaps he doesn't understand it fully. He doesn't appreciate it on the same level as the Rebbe Rashab appreciated. But nonetheless, the Rebbe Rashab is not lonely around him. He's lonely around most people. But he's not lonely around him. He feels a kinship. He feels a brothership. He feels a solidarity. This person understands me. And he's trying to lift the Rebbe Rashab. He's trying to, you know, remember how the Rebbe would do this? Yeah? Take a video and watch the Rebbe do this. You know, it's so many years since the last time, most recent time we saw this. You'll make an interesting notice that you probably didn't see while you watched it happen. Every time the Rebbe does this, he's looking at a certain person in the eyes. This isn't arbitrary. You know, this isn't just everybody's thinking be happy. He's making eye contact with a person. And I had the Rebbe do this to me once. And I can tell you, I know when it happened and why it happened and where it happened, and I'll never forget it. Every one of these was literally giving life to another person. It wasn't just, let's raise the tempo, sing a little faster. It looked that way. Watch the videos. Watch the Rebbe walk into show. Watch the videos. He's going like this, yeah? Every one of these motions is direct eye contact with a single person. And the power of this motion, what it gave another person, it really, literally gave life and freshness to a person. I had it happen to me one time, and I remember when it happened and where it happened. I went and I waited for the Rebbe, because I needed it. You know, it was an experience that was very real to me. And every person who's had the Rebbe do this to them, and everybody had it, the Rebbe looked them straight in the eyes. Look straight through them. And that, here you have a similar kind of experience of an old chassid who's doing this to a young, deeply involved in Avodas Hashem Rebbe. And he says a few short words. Now let's read it one more time. It's the fourth line in the paragraph. I'll read it again. It says, Zeit Freilach, be happy, right? And what does such be happy? When you tell an American, be happy, what is the response to that observation? Be happy. What are you supposed to say as a good American? Realist. About what? Right? And you know what the answer to that question is? About life itself. You can breathe. Be happy. Because one of the ideals of Hasidus is there's a lot to be happy about by the very fact that you're alive. But more importantly, happiness is not the same thing as pleasure. You know the difference between the two? Pleasure is from things. You did things, you tasted, you partook, you have pleasure, material pleasure, spiritual pleasure. Happiness is not the result of life. It's the battery of life. When you're happy, you live. When you're not happy, you're dead. Happiness comes as an inspiration. You want to live, be happy. What about? So that you should live. And if necessary, I think I once discussed it with you, if you don't feel like being happy, force yourself to be happy. Because happiness is energy, and happiness is life, and happiness can overcome every obstacle in the world. And this is what this old chassid is saying to this young Rebbe with infinite love and support and understanding. It's nice to love people, it's another to understand. Be happy, live. And you can find out that in your anguish, and if I had to interpret, and I'm not going to, but I am going to, I should say, the anguish of the Rebbe Rashab was, I need my father. I'm too young to be a Rebbe. And it's impossible to fathom the dependency of one Rebbe on another. We have a Rebbe. We all lean on him. You have no idea how we lean on the Rebbe, and we lean on the Rebbe still. We lean on the Rebbe. Who held him up? Who held the whole world leaned on the Rebbe? What held him from collapsing? It's only one thing. You know what that is? His Rebbe. And who held up his Rebbe? His Rebbe. Till Moshe Rabbeinu. And who holds up Moshe Rabbeinu? The Eibishter himself. So, the Rebbe Rashab is so young. And his father passed away, what we are going to say is a premature age. And, you know, he's carrying so much. And here's a chassid who can't hold him up, but he can certainly, you know, provide a little support, you know, do something to lift the spirits. And this is what he tells the Rebbe. You know, you lost your father. That's the deepest exile for the Rebbe Rashab, was the loss of his father. You can live. You can live, notwithstanding that loss. That's my interpretation of this letter.